Powerful worship music here on the show. It's called My Redeemer, this one. Local music taking us to 1:15 here on the show with my guest in studio. His name is Freddie Nachel. He is from Victory Village, who's here just to share his testimony with us, a testimony that really, really brings a lot of hope, right? As well as just the work that he's doing at Victory Village. Freddie, it's good to have you. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Z. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I'm very excited for the conversation. I'm excited to have you here. Going to give you a bit of time before we get into all the wonderful work that you're doing to take a couple of steps back and allow you to introduce yourself to us before we get into the testimony.
Okay. As you said, Z, my name is Freddie Nachel. I come from place called Meyerton, and that's where I'm based at the moment, which is probably about 100 k's south from where we are now. And I grew up in Alberton most of my life. Mm-hmm. Came from a fairly good home. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad split when I was about 12 or 14, and it's good to be here. And we run a place called Victory Village, which is a center, a halfway house / sober living community that take people after they've had drug rehabilitation, and then they come to us and we assist them to get their lives started again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married to a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful young wife with the name Lizette.
Yeah.
We have a four-year-old called Munay, and we're all together and we're enjoying recovery and the fruits that it bring, that it brings. And here to tell the listeners as much as I can about how God's actually changed what's happened in my life and changed my whole future and my descendants' future as well, I think is important.
You mentioned something about your upbringing, about, you know, your parents were split when you were 12. You mentioned Victory Village, mm-hmm. Which obviously is a project that came out of somewhere, right, which was inspired by something that happened in your life. And then you mentioned a beautiful picture now, married to a wife with children, living a clean life. But there's a lot that happened between, I'd like to imagine, you know, that young 12-year-old boy and right now this grown married man doing amazing work for the kingdom. What was that?
Wow, yeah. The as you said, there's 25 years there that I kind of skipped.
Yeah.
A lot happened. In short, my testimony is definitely not the only one that exists. There's many of it. But in short, when my mom and dad split, we kind of moved to Alberton, so we moved away from my dad. And that caused some trouble in my life, but probably not the most. So I was a Springbok gymnast, and I hurt my neck at the age of 14, 15, and I was told to actually stop the sport. And with that, with the sport being stopped and my, and my mom and dad kind of splitting, my mom tried to overcompensate for a dad that's not there and allowed me to do certain things that I shouldn't.
Mm.
And my identity was in this gymnastics thing and it disappeared. And then I lost complete control of my life. I started taking pain medication because of my neck, and that helped. And I found that if I take a lot of pain medication, then I don't feel so bad about my life. And I was also then sexually abused during this time from about 15, between the time of 15 and 16, by an older gentleman who I've now completely forgiven, by the way. And it kind of took a turn from there for the worst. It became better at stages. I could manage it, but spent my life in rehabs, between rehabs and getting my life back together. So I'd go to either a month program or a 6-month program. I'd come out and I'd last 3 months and then I'd fall flat again. And slowly but surely, everybody started leaving one by one. They, you know, family members got tired of me and, you know, living on their couches, and tried to commit suicide a couple of times. And, you know, just kind of went south. And I firmly believe that it was kind of just a way of me trying to escape the suffering that I was going through. Mm-hmm. Very much tied to the regrets of the past. And every time it gets worse because you know where you're supposed to be.
But tell me something, Freddie. What do you think led you to whatever or whoever introduced you then to substances?
Well, for me, my route into substance was the pain medication route, as I said.
Yes.
And then, Yeah, when you lose track a little, you start hanging out with people who are also, let's call them trackless.
Right.
And they're busy with other stuff. So you get slowly, you get introduced to these things. And finally, you that guy that's introducing them or the other people to it. And
what were the early symptoms that maybe then your family could have picked up on in the early stages that something was going on here in your life?
Sure. I think it was fairly manageable up until, I think that the first symptoms would probably be when schoolwork started to be affected. Maybe, you know, some trauma counseling there could have helped a little more. But mom tried and dad tried.
Mm.
Everyone tried. At that stage, it's almost too late, I think. And that's kind of where I want to go with this discussion as well is, you know, that's what the devil's doing. If you can attack the family, I think a lot of the stuff happened because of mom and dad splitting. To be completely honest, and trauma, you know, is kind of the gateway to addiction. You know, the a lot of people think that the gateway is either cigarettes or alcohol or weed. But that's not the gateway. Trauma is the gateway, because I know many people that's touched weed and touched alcohol that don't get addicted. The trauma that you go through is that's what makes you feel better about yourself. And if you feel better when you're high, it means you're not feeling good when you're
sober. You're constantly trying to escape the...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so, you know, there's a doctor called Dr. Gabo Mate who's doing a lot of good work in the addiction field, and he says that, you know, the gateway is the trauma, and it's all just kind of an escape from human suffering.
Okay, let me allow you to fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
So you spoke about, like, you went to about 12 to 14 rehabs, and eventually there was a moment of change. How did that come about?
Well, at the age of 36, or 37, sorry, I lost absolutely everything. My wife left me. I lost the house. I kind of used the house underneath us. Well, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, I lost the house because up my nose. I don't know how else to put it. But I lost everything, and she kicked me out, and I went to live with my dad for a little while, and then I got fed up with that. And, yeah, the short of it is I ended up on the street in a very, very cold July in 2017, and I lost my teeth. I'd lost my will to live. I'd lost my shoes, my everything, my dignity, you name it. I lost it all. And I remember contemplating hanging myself from the tree. One of the homeless that was with me kind of got my sister's number out of me, and he phoned her, and she then eventually rocked up. I spoke to her, and then I said, come and fetch me. And by then, I realized I'm done. I didn't want to die like this. It was not for me.
Sure.
And then I went into 11-month treatment program at a place called Project Purpose, that changed my life tremendously. During this process, during this process, I was religious, I think, a lot of my life, but I then became a true follower of Jesus, where it hit me. I remember where I was sitting at a cold table, and it hit me that the forgiveness is something that I needed to work with. And the rest is history. I came out of treatment, and my wife didn't speak to me for 6 to 7 months. Neither did mom. The whole family was fed up with me, but I then came out and we rekindled things. And as I say, I'm proud to announce that after coming right, my God blessed us with a little daughter.
Aww.
And it's so wonderful that he knew he had to wait, because she's only 4 now and I've been sober 6. So, and if we had her, we've been married for 16 years. So, and if we had her when we just got married, I'd probably have a 16-year-old, very damaged daughter at the moment.
Yeah.
So I praise God that we had to wait. We're unfortunate in the sense where I'm almost too old to pick her up, but he knew how to wait.
A quick question I want to ask you as well. What is the difference, because you'd been to about 12 to 14 rehabs in the past, but this time around you went through the treatment and things changed forever and you never went back, right? What was different this time?
For me personally, it was the absence of family. by that time, all the support had run out from everyone around me.
Yeah.
And they allowed me to go through this process without interrupting to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd lost them all. And that was mm-hmm. my rock bottom. And mm-hmm. rock bottom for everybody is something different. For me, it was my wife. She'd threatened many, many, many times to leave me, but never did. Mm-hmm. And then she did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
then it was real.
Then it was real.
In one sentence, how do you summarize your life story or testimony with God? What's it the one message that you would like your story, to speak to the next person who's listening?
You, no pressure.
you said it off air.
Did I?
Yeah, you said if God could do it for
me. Yeah, if God could do it for me, he can do it for everyone, yeah.
Sure.
Or anyone.
Powerful. Powerful. If God could do it for you after how many years of addiction?
17.
17 years of addiction. How many years clean now?
Six.
6 years clean. Bui on the WhatsApp line saying God of restoration, and that's exactly what he is.
Amen.
It's music here from Brandon Lake. It's called Gratitude, right? Because God does amazing things, and at times, after all the wonderful, mind-blowing things that God does for us, all we can really do, all the best we can do, is just extend our gratitude to God, right? For the wonderful things he does in our lives. And I'm chatting in studio today with Freddie Nachel, who's from Victory Village. Freddie just shared his testimony with us and just how incredible God's hand has been on him and his life. And, Freddie, after the incredible work God did in your life, you then started a Victory Village. Tell us about Victory Village.
Gladly. After coming out of treatment the last time in 2018, I eventually left. I went to a church service at Bridge Church, our church, and a sermon was given on vision and how we need to have vision and move forward. And if your vision doesn't scare you, it's probably the wrong vision.
Yeah.
And I went home and I immediately took pen to paper and I wrote down option A, B, and C for my life going forward. And this halfway house idea was one of them. My family was then consulted, and we decided to give this a go, I decided to give it a go. And God made all of this possible where we were able to actually get a plot or a small holding out in Mayerton.
Mm-hmm.
And we started this thing where we take in people after treatment, and they then come and live with us there on the plot. They basically rent from us, and we try and teach them the ropes. So Victory Village is a sober living community
mm-hmm.
that was eventually registered registered in 2021. And we have like a stages process where guys would come into the main house, and then as they progress and start finding work, they'll move out to some of the cottages. And eventually it gets to the point where we can actually supply a cottage to you empty to a certain extent and say, listen, now you need to start your life almost like a bachelor pad where you now need to get a bed and your kettle. I always go on about the kettle with the guys. guys who want to leave, the first question I ask is, do you have a kettle? So getting them up to their feet, or getting them on their feet, and we help them with IDs and driver's licenses and CVs and the job hunting process. A lot of the practical stuff initially, because the guys struggle with confidence, and we need to get some of the basics right again to become a normal member of society. So most of the guys that come from us come from a long-term treatment center like I was in, either Project Purpose or those around us.
Yeah.
And so their confidence is shot, and they spent many years in addiction, just like I did, where, it's very easy to tell a guy, listen, draw up a CV and go and look for work. It sounds fairly normal to your average Joe, I think, but for a guy who left school in grade 10 and spent so many years in addiction, it's not that simple. There's no confidence. There's a lot of help required, and that's where we come in, and we see it as a sober living community, and we assist one another as best as we can, dealing with as much love as we possibly can, as much understanding as we can. And 12 steps of recovery, the 12th step says you must be of service, and now that you've learned what you've learned, we need to give it away. And I think that's a biblical principle as well. The last shall be first. And I was called to do this. I wholeheartedly believe, and I love every minute of it. It's it every night I put my head down on the pillow, regardless of what a difficult day it was. Yeah. I know I did something for the kingdom.
I love that. I mean, it reminds me of something that I always say, that, you know, God never puts anything to waste, even your years in addiction that looked terrible, obviously, but God has not wasted that. This is what he's just went and done with that to impact so many other lives. And I think, you know, that step between getting out of rehab and treatment to coming back into society is normally very tricky. And I think, you know, the guys need somebody that understands, somebody that would know how they are feeling, because they come back to like their normal families, and we just have, like you said, that expectation, get back on your feet and just keep moving, and we don't really understand what they're going through internally and what they're still wrestling with. So why is it that aftercare and your reintegration process is so important for people's recovery journeys?
Many of the exact same things that you say, you know, yeah. The recovery giants, your NA, your AA, all those guys speak of people, places, things. You can't expect somebody to remain in recovery if you're placing them exactly in all the things that trigger us. And sometimes our family triggers us.
Yeah.
They don't mean to. If for instance, a simple thing like financial stuff, you know, if we kind of manage the guy's finances to a certain extent, we help them with that to make clever choices. And if I say you can't go to town today, or you can't have $100 because you're going to waste it, there's no emotion involved. They understand it because I understand the process and they accept it. If that person was at home and his mom says you can't have $100, it becomes an emotional thing. And then what happens there is we just think, well, you don't trust me. You're never going to trust me. You always think I'm using. So you know what? I might as well use.
Ish.
So it's like a ticking time bomb. And then, you know, I think the importance of the reintegration is for the guys to, they need to be in a place where they can make new memories. What's wonderful about this type of setup is there's connection, as I've said, and we don't feel judged. The stigma in the world is still unfortunately there, and we get judged quite often, and it's good to have a place to come back to. And I think nobody's recoveries looks the same. There's things that I can do that Peter can't do, and there's things Peter can do that I can't do, but we need this environment to figure this out. Because if we just be thrown, if we're thrown back into the pool, then we sink. So we kind of use the method of, okay, we're going to sprinkle you a little, then we're going to put you in the shower, then in the bath, then in the swimming pool, then in the dam, and then you can swim in the sea. Figuring out what your triggers are. Because we don't really know. The treatment centers do fabulous work with getting the guys sober and helping them deal with the traumas, as I explained earlier. But, you know, we spend time on what does this sobriety or your recovery look like. We use a group called Heal, which is substance abuse support group at our church. And this group's amazing at giving practical things that you can do and speaking in a group from people's experience, meaning joke and say, this is what I did, this didn't work. We can ask for advice. We can, I need to buy a new car. What do I need to do? I have a date. What do I need to do? Should I be dating? I have a wedding where alcohol is going to be served. Would it be a good idea if I go? How do I put the accountability structure in place? How do I let my wise counsel know? All these practical little tricks is the stuff that aftercare deals with, and that's why it's so important.
Sure, absolutely love it. Very thoughtful. I've got a message from one of our listeners who says, Freddie has been giving me hope with his testimony. My dad can break his addiction from alcohol, and I know Freddie will be the one to help us. Thank you for your work, the work that you do, Freddie. Breaking an addiction is not easy, and we need more followers of Christ like Freddie.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry, I'm so sorry to hear about your situation. And that situation specifically is so difficult, because it's a child that now wants to help a parent, meaning the roles are now reversed. And it's not the way it's intended to be, and that's a very difficult thing to deal with. But there are ways in which one can do it. I suggest, you know, kind of, not that she's asking, but join the closest Heal support meeting, because they also have a supporters guide to actually guide you through this process of how do I help a person that's struggling.
Yeah.
Because it's just as important. It's a family affair.
Literally, yeah. Okay, when we come back after this, we'll talk about this exciting new project that you've got going at Victory Village. It's called the Cyber Center Project. I can't wait to hear all about it. And it's coming up just after this. Yep, I'm talking about Jesus who restores things from ruins, who restores and returns things that the enemy has stolen from his children. It's Mandisa on this one. It's called Ruins, taking us to 44 minutes after one. Still hang out with Freddie Nachel from Victory Village here on the show. And before the break, we alluded to a great project, an exciting one that they're currently working on. Freddie, tell us about the Cyber Center project.
Thanks, We've realized that there's a bit of a gap in the services that we offer at the village, and we've decided to take on this Cyber Center project where we want to build a facility with a computer room that has computers and printers and Wi-Fi and internet and maybe a little kitchen where the guys can actually go and sit and do these certain things that's required, like educational stuff, maybe looking for work, virtual counseling, I think resume creation, all those kind of things they can sit and do in this area. And due to space constraints in the house with a lot of guys and it being quite noisy, etc., at times we want to build a separate unit or a separate little facility where the guys can sit and actually do these kind of things. That's kind of what the Cyber Center is about. And unfortunately, these things cost money. And we're looking for any kind of donation or etc. To get this off the ground so that the guys can actually start getting their lives back in order and have a safe area to do so from. So it's like the one area where we've picked up where we can actually improve what we offer the people at the village.
And so how can people help if they'd like to?
Well, there's donations that can be made either in financial, so money wise or there can be actual physical items like computers, printers, chairs, desks, cement for the foundation, bricks, and all those kind of things. We have on our website, we've got the full proposal of what it's going to cost. And we're looking at about $250,000 that the whole place is going to cost kitted out. There's a lot of things that's going to be required in that in that regard where the guys can literally just donate or help us or preferably financially is always easier for us just to kind of to make this dream a reality.
Sure, man. And I mean, maybe businesses are listening here and they're thinking, you know, what are other ways, for examples, that they can get involved in this?
Wow, good question. I think We also have stuff like recurring donations. I think just on the donation side, it's quite important to mention that we're able to, because of a non-profit organization, we're able to issue a S18A form so the guys can actually claim it back from tax. So for a company or a personal person, I don't think that's a word. Okay,
but
so for the personal people, they can
individuals.
There we go. Thank you for helping. Yeah. For the individuals as well, you can actually claim back from tax at year end. So there's things like recurring donations. People who decide, you know, once off is a bit tricky for us, but maybe R500 a month or R1,000 a month. Then at the end of the year, you can actually claim back R12,000 from tax, which is great. Or it's a tax write off, and with that, we can actually help guys like getting a guy a course, getting enrolled in a course. We have a lot of courses that's available. We deal with a trade school around the corner from us that can actually teach the guys plumbing or electrical or welding. There's actually a pastoral course as well that they offer now, and they call Train Corp, and we work hand in hand with them, so the guys stay by us and they're safe in their recovery, but they're also finding their purpose, which I find is extremely important. I didn't mention this earlier, but from a personal point of view, I think we suffer from this existential problem where if we don't give guys purpose and something to do, the chances of falling back are so much greater. We need to feel worthy, and And that's another way companies can help, is they can help us with some material. We actually have a workshop on site so we can have the guys build things and sell it, so that the positive reward systems,
yes,
in their minds are activated again, meaning if I do this, then this happens. And
yeah,
the dopamine levels then, you know, get released again, and things just start making sense for them at a subconscious level, which is what you need.
So I've got a message on WhatsApp, somebody asking, do you cater for females as well or just males?
We do not cater for females. We only cater for males, but there are places like us for females as well.
As well.
That we'll refer to, yes.
Freddie, thank you so much. Before you go, just your contact details. I think for all the individuals, the personal people, the businesses that are listening, you know, that do have, for example, you mentioned earlier, computers, printers, chairs, desks, cement, and obviously, most importantly, financial donations. You know, no matter the amount, really, some people can sign up maybe to donate on a monthly basis. Others can give a lump sum, or whichever way, right? It always goes a long way.
Yeah.
So whoever's listening that's got capacity or any of those kind of things to really help support the guys on their journey to recovery, Freddie, where do they get in touch with you?
Three easy ways. Go to victoryvillage.co.za/personal people.
I love it.
No, just go to victoryvillage.co.za or 073-373-2467.
Mm-hmm.
I'll repeat that. You can 073-373-2467. You can contact me on WhatsApp there or email Freddie with a Y at victoryvillage.co.za.
Freddie, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the wonderful work you're doing. And I pray that God will just touch the hearts of as many people to come forth and really just support the work at Victory Village. Thank you for spending the time together with us today.
Thank you, Marissa. Ditto, and right back at you. Wow, what a wonderful job you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Freddie from Victory Village. Like he said, you can get a hold of them by going to their website. It's victoryvillage.co.za, or call them on 073-373-2467, or you can drop him a mail, FREDDY, that's Freddie, @victoryvillage.co.za.